I would now ask of you your kind and careful and considerate prayerful attention for our brother as he would present unto us this night the message and the words of life. Our brother Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Glenn. It's good to see each one of you here this evening. I would like to start by reading a verse in James chapter 4, verse 14. This one verse here. Wherefore ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We know that our life is like a vapor. We're only here for a short time. I know we have people in the audience that are in their 70s, and I'm sure they can't believe that time has gone by that fast. I know I'm in my 50s, and it's hard to imagine that the time has gone by that fast. But I really want to focus on the first part of this. You know not what shall be on the morrow. We do not know what tomorrow will bring for each one of us. We never know how many more tomorrows we have. And we don't know what kind of trials we may have on them tomorrow or what kind of blessings. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I know last Monday I went back to work. I'd been off work for a week. And we have a meeting in the morning. I have a meeting with the foreman at 5:15 in the morning. And we plan out the day. And this meeting was over at 5:30. And I was talking, after that meeting, I was talking to one of the foremen, Dan Johnson. And I was kind of catching up on things. You know, I'd been gone for a week, and he was kind of catching me up on things. And we kind of have similar ideas on the way the departments run, about the politics and all that type of stuff. And I know every work group has its own set of politics and problems and things. And we were discussing some of these things. And we talked for about 10 minutes. And then he had to leave because he had to catch a helicopter at 6 o'clock. He was flying up to Horse Mesa Dam, where he was a foreman up there on that job. And, you know, I didn't know when I was talking to Dan that the next time I would see him would be in the hospital. It was like any other day. I've known him for probably 25 years, maybe. I had no idea that the next time I'd see him would be in the hospital. He was supposed to fly back at about 4 p.m. that day. But little did we know that he would be air-evac back much sooner than that. He was working up on top of Horse Mesa Dam, and he fell off the dam onto the helipad, which was about 25 feet. So this roof is probably 10 feet, so it would be 2.5 times this height. And I know our safety department said that statistically that people that fall over 20 feet, it's usually a fatality. And I don't know what they mean by usually. I don't know if that's just more than 50% of the time. But over 20 feet is very serious. And he was very lucky. He had 3 or 4 broken ribs, a few abrasions, a lot of soreness. But he could have been killed. But things like this happen in life. These things are part of life. G- Just this evening, our brother Jim Yates was taken back to the hospital for blood clots. We know that he's had problems with these blood clots for many years. But these things are part of life. How many of you have ever been in a car accident? Raise your hands. Most of you have been in a car accident, haven't you? Part of life. Probably most of you have been to a doctor for some illness or accident that you have had. These are part of this life that we live. Let's turn back a couple of chapters there in James. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is a very familiar scripture to us. My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we know that this is talking about this. It says, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. And these temptations it's talking about are the trials and the persecutions and the afflictions of life. It says that we are to count it all joy when we have these things in life. Let's skip down to verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that endureth these trials in life. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We know that these things are common to man. We are going to have these in life. But we also know that they make us stronger if we endure these things. It says, blessed is the man that endureth. We will receive a blessing if we overcome these things, because they can make us stronger. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We know that the things that we suffer in this life are nothing compared to that glory that we will receive if we can endure these things and we can overcome these things in our life. Let's skip over to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Another thing that sometimes we have trouble understanding, isn't it? That all things work together for good to them that love God. So we see all of these things that happen in our life. All of the things that we perceive to be bad, some of these trials, some of these temptations, the blessings that we have, they all work together for good. And we don't always understand this. All part of God's plan that sometimes is beyond our comprehension. And these things, sometimes we just have to put our faith and our trust in God that these things are all going to work together for good, because we're not always going to be able to understand these things. But I know that we are not always glad to have trials and problems in life, are we? It's hard for us to count it all joy when we have these things. And we don't always understand how these things work together for good. We have to put our faith and trust in God. And sometimes we may say, "Why me? Why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me?" And that is the title of my sermon tonight. Why me? We're going to look at several different aspects of why me. But I think when we normally think of this why me, it's why am I having these problems? Not understanding fully God's plan. His plan for our lives. Let's first look at how we got here. How did man get here? Let's turn back to Genesis. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Back to the creation. We'll see where this me came from. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the sea, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So we see that man was created in God's image. That's where we came from. That was the start. And man was given dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see this creation that God had made. And we see here that he said that it was very good. Everything that God created was very good. Let's go over to the next chapter. Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So we see here that this magnificent creation came from the dust. And we see something else very important here about man. that he became a living soul. God gave us a soul that was different from all the other animal kingdoms. Man was the only one that had a soul. Let's skip over to chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Before Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her in, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So we see, we have man and woman that God created from the beginning. And we also see from this verse that God ordained marriage. He ordained marriage from the very beginning between man and woman. Now let's turn over to 2 Nephi. Chapter 1, verses 111 to 115, and this is on page 85. As we're going to see some other things about man here. Verse 111. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were. After that, they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end, and they would have had no children. Wherefore, they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, having no good, for they knew no sin. So we see if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, we would not be here, would we? We would not be here. Everything would have remained in the same state in the Garden of Eden. But because of man's sin, we are here. But we see also that they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy because they knew no misery. There was not those two opposites in their lives. But we have that, don't we? We see the joy in life, and we see the misery, and we know the difference between the two. Verse 114, but behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him that knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. So we see that men are that they might have joy. And we know that that's something that it says that we might have, but it is something that is not guaranteed in our life. It is, a lot of it depends on how we live our life, whether we live our life serving God to where we can find that true joy. Because we know the things of this world will not bring that true joy. Only through Jesus Christ can we find that true joy in our lives. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. As we see something else about creation. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we know that God created all things. And we see it says why he created them. It says, for thy pleasure they were created. Man and all the things in this earth were created for God's pleasure. And we know from creation, the things that God created. There's such a wide variety of things, aren't there? From all the little creepy crawly things to the rhinoceros, to the elephants, to the giraffes. All different sizes and shapes of things. And they were created for God's pleasure. But we also, man, was created for God's pleasure. And I'm not sure sometimes how much pleasure man gives God when he looks down here and sees all the sin in the world. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 14. Verses 126 and 127. This is on page 401. Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of his people, which are a branch of the tree of Israel, and hath been lost from its body in a strange land. Yea, I say, blessed be the name of my God, who hath been mindful of us, wanderers in a strange land. Now, my brethren, see that God is mindful of every people, in whatsoever land they may be in. Yea, he numbereth his people, and his bowels of mercy over all the earth. We see here that God is mindful of us. Of each one of us. Sometimes to me that's very humbling to think that he is mindful of us, that he cares about us, that he's concerned about us, that he is trying to work in our lives, that he is giving us opportunities to serve him and to follow him. And he is trying to lead us and direct us. He is mindful of each one of us. He knows we are sitting here tonight. He knows the problems we have in life. He knows the desires of our heart. And he is always there. Always there to help us if we will seek him. So in these last few scriptures that we have read, we see that man was created in the image of God. That man was given dominion over every living thing on this earth. That we have a soul that separates us from all the other living things on this earth. We see that God ordained marriage between a man and a woman from the very beginning. We see that man are that they might have joy. God wants us to have joy in this life. We see that we were created for God's pleasure. And we also see that God is mindful of each and every one of us. Now let's look at another aspect of why me. When we say, why me, it's usually something negative, isn't it? Because something bad has happened to us. Why did this happen to me? Why did I have this problem or this persecution or this trial? Why me? But maybe we should ask, why me? Because of the blessings that God has given us. Why has God been so good to us? Do we ever ask that? Do we ever think, why have I been so blessed? Why has God been so good to me? I know a lot of times it's easy to take those things for granted. And to just worry about the negative things in life. And not focus on the things, the blessings that we have. Let's look at some of these blessings. Our homes. We take these for granted, don't we, in this country? Most of us, most people in this nation have a home. There are a few that don't, but the vast majority have a home. Indoor plumbing, hot water, air conditioning, a refrigerator, a microwave, furniture, comfortable beds, computers. The list could go on and on. Do we ever say, why me, Lord? Why was I blessed to have these things when so many in the world do not have them and never will have them on this earth? Our daily food. The food that we eat every day. I go to the pantry or I go to the refrigerator and I expect there to be food there. Because my wife goes and buys it. But we have the resources to purchase this food. There's over 1 billion people in the world that don't have enough to eat. They go to bed hungry every night. Our jobs. I had this in a sermon some time back. If we make $2.37 a day, we are in the top 50% of the world in income. $2.37 a day. We have jobs. We have resources. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Things we take for granted. The free nation we live in. There's many opportunities in this nation. And I know that this nation is turning away from God. But we have to realize that it is still much better than most of the nations out there in this world. The freedoms that we have, a lot of people don't enjoy and never will their whole lives. If you can read, we take that for granted, don't we? We learn to read. 2 billion people in the world cannot read at all. About a third. Freedom to worship without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death. 3 billion people in the world don't have this blessing. There are nations in the world today that would kill us for meeting together like this. If we proclaim Christ, we could meet together if we had some other religion, but if we were proclaiming Christ, there are nations that would kill us. Own a Bible. One third of the world does not have access to a Bible. No access. We have the Book of Mormon. So much of the world does not even know about the Book of Mormon. This gospel. Members of the Church of Christ. Most of you in this room are members of the Church of Christ. Christ's only true church on this earth. Do you ever ask, why me? Why am I here tonight? Why am I part of Christ's church? I know it's very humbling to me to be a minister in Christ's church. Something I don't understand. I don't understand why Christ chose me. Because I can see my weaknesses and my frailties. Don't always understand. This local. We're very blessed to have a local. We have lots of members of the Church of Christ in America, in foreign lands, that don't have a local. It is a blessing. It is a source of strength. Our families. Many people in the world don't really have families. Or they have dysfunctional families. We are blessed to have family members and brothers and sisters in the church that can uplift us and strengthen us. Our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is becoming a small minority of the world. That belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, even in Christian religions. Our belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. The gift of the Holy Ghost. That comforting spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us through life's trials and troubles. We know that when we are baptized into this church and have the laying on of hands, that we are given that gift of the Holy Ghost to abide with us all of our days on this earth. The very breath of life, as we read about earlier, our creation, a marvelous and miraculous thing, a gift from God, the very breath of life that we have. That promise of eternal life that makes everything in this life all worthwhile. God has given us everything that we need. He has provided for us spiritually and temporally. We truly have been richly blessed. Why me? Why has God given me all these blessings? Think about it. Think about it. Why is God so good to us? Let's look at the last aspect of why me. Is what is my purpose in life? Why me? What am I here for? What are my spiritual duties in life? What plan does God have for us? We know we read earlier about that man has dominion over the things of the earth. Every living creature. Those are temporal things. But there are more important things in this life than those temporal things. And that is our spiritual life. The things that will determine where we spend eternity. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's so simple, so concise, but so clear. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we know that we have temporal things in life that we have to take care of, don't we? Our jobs and our families. That is part of life. But these spiritual things, these are what are the most important. That we fear God and keep His commandments. That we have this reverence and honor and respect for God. That we have love for Him, that we have awe for Him, that we have fear of His judgment, and that we follow His commandments. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We know that these two commandments that Christ has given us is a summary. We know that all through Scripture we are told things to do. We have the Ten Commandments, and we are told all different things to do. all these commandments, but these sum it up. These two, that we love God, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we do those two things, if we love God and love our neighbor, we will do all of those other things that are contained in the Scriptures. We will keep all of those other commandments. Because if we love God, we will want to serve Him and to follow after Him and do His will in all aspects of our life. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 1, 88 through 91. This is on page 215. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. We see that there is a blessed and happy state to those that keep the commandments. And that covers all of our life. It says temporal and spiritual. We are going to be blessed in all aspects of our life if we are willing to follow Him and to keep His commandments. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. For we see the final reward, don't we, of following after God's commandments and doing the things that He has asked of us, that we will have that never-ending happiness, that we will dwell with God for eternity. Let's turn over to 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 226 through 231. And this is on page 40. And this is part of Nephi's vision of things that are to happen in this last day. And just previous to this, it talks about that there will only be two churches. We're going to pick up there in verse 226. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore that sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. So we need to understand in these last days that the numbers are going to be few. We know that we are going to preach this gospel to the world, but there are only going to be a few that will accept it. And we can see that today. And we are in that time frame today. And the numbers are few. But the people I'm looking at in this audience tonight are part of that few. You are the ones that it is talking about. In this last day, and their dominion upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore which I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abomination did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, and it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. So we see here that the power of the Lamb of God descended upon the saints, upon us. Verse 231, and they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. That is talking about us. Armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. That is us. But we also have a great responsibility. We have been given this blessing. This blessing to be part of Christ's church in this last day. But we have a responsibility to spread this gospel. We know that the scriptures tell us that this gospel will be preached to all the world, and then the end will come. We are part of this. It is a great blessing to be a part of this, to be part of Christ's church, because we have that hope for eternal life. But we also have that responsibility that we serve our God, that we fear our God, that we keep His commandments, and that we look in our lives for what we can do. What is our service to God? How are we going to spread this gospel? We need to be a shining light to the world. When we're out in the world, the people should see in our countenance that we are different, that we have something. We have something that is missing in their lives. Something that they would like to have. It is my desire that each one of us will look in our lives for what it is that we are to do and to seek God's guidance in our lives that we might be able to spread this gospel to the world. Thank you.